Lord Jesus, you turn water into wine. Would you now take the words on the page, breathe on them by your Spirit, and bring them alive for us. Amen. Do take a seat. How are you feeling today? How will you be feeling tomorrow, now that you know that tomorrow is the most depressing day of the year? Something to look forward to, isn't it? The most depressing days of Jesus' disciples were the days around his arrest and his death. Maundy Thursday, Jesus is arrested. Good Friday, Jesus is crucified. And I think maybe the most depressing day actually was the next day. Saturday. It's all over. Jesus is dead. Our dreams have come to nothing. But then everything changed. Jesus was alive again. Easter Sunday. They're meeting them. He's explaining to them that all these things had to happen. Life was good again. But then the second most depressing time was probably after he left them to return to his Father in heaven. Did all these things really happen, or did we make them up? Did he really tell us to wait here until he sends someone whom he calls the Comforter, the Counselor? When's that going to happen? Why is nothing happening yet? And I imagine they were still afraid of those who had killed their master Jesus. Maybe they would come after them next. But then something did happen. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, the living, breathing presence of God. And the Holy Spirit changed everything. Their fear was turned to boldness. They threw open the doors and windows. They went out and they told people about Jesus. On that day, the church was born. And thousands of people who wanted to follow Jesus, just as Jamie has done this morning, were baptized. Baptized and also filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit guides us. The Spirit comforts us. The Spirit makes us more like Jesus, whom we follow. The Spirit warns us when we go down a wrong track. The Spirit brings the words of God to life. And the Spirit gives us special gifts. Our first reading today follows on from last week. And last week we began a new sermon series. We began to think about how we can become a more Christ-like church. Bishop Stephen, the Bishop of Oxford, has asked churches in the diocese to think about that. It's part of our diocesan vision. And so over the next weeks, we're going to take the regular set readings. And we're going to ask this question. What does it mean to be a more Christ-like church? And today we're going to think about the gift of the Holy Spirit. A more Christ-like church is a church filled with the Holy Spirit. How can I know that I've received the Holy Spirit? That's a really good question. And it takes us right into our first reading. And can I suggest that you have it open in front of you? It's in the news sheet, inside pages, 1 Corinthians 12. It's the lower part. And you will find little numbers, verse numbers. And I might refer to these verses as we go along. In fact, I will refer to these numbers. The very beginning of the reading. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. St. Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, you have been given the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let me unwrap this gift for you. Verse 2, straight afterwards. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. An idol is a surrogate god. Something or someone that becomes so important to us that it takes the place of God. But of course, it isn't God. It's just a thing, or a person, or a habit. Now, while these things are not God, they can control us, pull us away from the real God. Paul says, you were enticed, you were led astray. The Bible is very clear that there is no power vacuum. If we don't believe in God, we will believe in other things. G.K. Chesterton famously said that when people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. There is no demilitarized neutral zone when it comes to spiritual matters. And by the way, in February, we'll think about some of the potent idols of our day in our Sunday services. If you've been around for long enough, you may remember these Bob Dylan lyrics. I'm not going to snarl it to you and sing it to you, but these are the words. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble or you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Baptism is the public declaration that I will serve and follow Jesus and turn my back on all idols and on evil itself. That's what you've declared this morning, Jamie. Moving on, verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How do you know whether you have the Holy Spirit? If you confess Jesus as Lord, you know you have him, because only the Spirit can reveal Jesus to you for who he truly is. We can think a lot of things about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit makes us see that Jesus truly is in charge. He's the Lord. Some people become Christians and they worry. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not experiencing any fireworks. When I was a student, I earned some money by doing night shifts in a factory, and I got to know someone else who was a Christian, had become a Christian, and he was worried because some of his fellow Christians said, you are not speaking in tongues, which is one particular gift of the Holy Spirit. And he thought, oh no, I'm not speaking in tongues. I might not be a proper Christian yet. Is God's Spirit really living in me? Yes. God's Holy Spirit has drawn you, given you faith, revealed Jesus as the Son of God and the Lord you love. Jesus is Lord. This is the litmus test. Jesus is the litmus test. And that's why when someone wants to be baptized, we don't ask, do you believe in the divine? Do you believe in some supernatural force? Do you believe in ecstatic feelings? No, we ask, do you turn to Christ, the person of Jesus, who we can know and follow? Bishop Tom Wright says this: Paul faces a problem which the modern Western world faces a lot, the confusion in people's minds between something that is spiritual and something that is Christian. In a world that's been starved of spirituality, it's easy to suppose that anything which seems to be in touch with something spiritual or supernatural must be from God. But that's clearly not the case. Wright continues, Paul reminds them that when they worshipped idols, they were sometimes carried away into ecstasy. There is nothing particularly Christian about spiritual experience then. And here comes the sentence, which I'd love you to remember. The point of being in touch with the things of the Spirit is not in order to have exciting experiences, but so that we will be loyal to Jesus, the risen Lord. Nothing wrong with experiences of great elation and deep joy as we follow Jesus. But the point of being in touch with things of the Spirit is so that we will be loyal to Jesus, the risen Lord. At its heart, the Christian faith is a commitment. Jesus is Lord. No one and nothing else. And that's revolutionary. It certainly was 2,000 years ago when Caesar, the Roman emperor, demanded to be called Lord. The word in the Bible is kurios, kurios. That's where we get kurie eleison from. Kurios, Jesus is the Lord of all. And the Christian said, when Caesar said, I'm kurios, the Christian said, nah, you're not. Jesus is. They needed the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives to us to say that and to live like that. Carrying on, verse 4, still in our reading from 1 Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit of unity. He unites us. That is so important. God gives us all different gifts, and we'll think about that more next week, so don't miss out on next week. But they are given by the same Spirit. Not to compete, not to compare. That was one of the problems that the church in Corinth had. They were measuring who was the most spiritual, who had the most spiritual gifts. And we all know that competing and comparing is rife in our world. A lot of young people look at social media, at the posts of their mates, and they get depressed because they think they fall short. They compare themselves with the glossy image portrayed by their friends and those who are friends in inverted commas on Facebook. Facebook is out, I know, on Snapchat. And I think, I can't compete. Our nation, our politicians are so deeply divided at present. Serving our nation together, uniting to find a way forward, seems so hard. As Christians, we have a prophetic role, showing our world how God is calling us to live in unity. Different ages, different ethnic groups, different paychecks, different views on Brexit, but one. Why? Because we follow the same Jesus and he gives us the same Spirit. Let's move on. Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God gives each one of us gifts, and some of them are then listed in following verses. And as I say, we'll explore them more next week. But they're not given so I can brag, so that I can be the spiritual superstar. No, they're given for the common good. The Holy Spirit in us always points to our wonderful God and glorifies him, never ourselves. That's why it's so healing to be in the presence of someone who is full of the Holy Spirit. They're not commending themselves. They're not putting themselves at the center. They have nothing to prove. They draw you into the healing presence of God. And you feel better for being with them. In Acts chapter 8, we meet a man called Simon. He was a magician, and he heard about Jesus from the disciples. He was impressed. And then he saw how the disciples were performing miracles and healed people. He was even more impressed. And so he offered the disciples money. Can I buy this Holy Spirit from you? And Peter is shocked. Did you think you can buy God's gift with money? All the gifts that the Spirit gives us are meant for the common good. In the Narnia story, when Father Christmas finally arrives and the endless winter is now coming to an end, Father Christmas gives gifts to Peter, to Susan, and to Lucy, a powerful sword, a healing liquid, and so on, and with them a word of warning. These gifts are tools, not toys. These gifts are tools, not toys. toys. God has given you a gift. Wonderful. Use it for the common good. God has given you two gifts. Amazing. Use them for the common good. God has given you three gifts. You're going to be very busy using them for the common good. They're not a badge of honor. They're not a merit God has given you for good behavior. Verse 11 says that the Spirit allots his gifts to each person as he chooses. He's sovereign. We receive them and then we use them for the common good. I remember the late Jim Graham, who was the senior pastor of Gold Hill Baptist Church, not far from here, telling us how a long-standing church member came to him one day, and she was very unhappy because someone who had just become a Christian, a new Christian, had received the spiritual gift of tongues, an ability to praise God from the depth of their heart in new words, utterances, not part of the English language. And she had been a Christian for so long. Why couldn't she do that? This is what Jim Graham said to her. Can you find it in your heart to thank God for that person, that she's found faith in Jesus and for the wonderful gift the Spirit has given to her? She found that hard, but she eventually did. And as she did, she received a new freedom and joy in her faith. Tom Wright again. The point of being in touch with the things of the Spirit is not in order to have exciting experiences, but so that we will be loyal to Jesus, the risen Lord. How am I feeling today, tomorrow, this month? The honest answer is, sometimes up, sometimes down. Some days are good, some days are difficult. But every day I know that God's presence, God's guidance, God's comforter, the Holy Spirit, is with me. And he helps me day by day to be loyal to Jesus, my Lord. Let's pray. Why don't we stand as we pray? And if you're someone who confesses Jesus as Lord, why don't you just open yourself up now to the breathing, living presence of God's Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, come and refresh us. Fill us to overflowing so that we can be loyal to Jesus. Continue to equip us so that we can serve others in his name. Help us to stop comparing and competing and to you live in us. You use us for your glory. Amen.